Let me read. When the day of Pentecost came, they being the disciples, the apostles, were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine to drink." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You made known to me this paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's church growth, isn't it? That's those who believed the message, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord Jesus added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this bit of scripture. Father, it was an exciting day in the history of salvation and of the church. And Father, please, as we read it today, as we look at it, please would it have an impact on us and our small church family here. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What am I describing? You ready? So this is, you can participate at this point. It's not, you're not just passengers. They devoted themselves to watching 11 men kicking an inflated piece of rubber around a field, to singing songs about them, to wearing clothes marked with their logo, and to constantly talking about the game. What am I describing? Football fans. Brilliant. Yeah, someone who supports team. They devoted themselves to these 11 men. Okay, here's something else. What am I describing? This is probably not describing anyone here, but let me have a go. They devoted themselves to learning from their teachers, doing all their homework, revising before exams, unheard of, and asking for help when they don't understand.
SWOTs,
yeah. Someone who wants to do well at school would probably be the more encouraging thing to say. That's good. So people who want to do well at school. Okay, here's another one. Now, this is a verse that we just read in the Bible, okay? Here it is, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. What am I describing?
Christians.
Exactly. These words in Acts 2:42 are describing to us a group of people whom the Holy Spirit has just brought to trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Right? That's why I read the whole chapter, because that's the backstory, right? Here is a group of people, the day of Pentecost. Peter has just stood up to them and preached Jesus. Jesus whom you crucified. Jesus who was dead and buried, but 3 days later was raised up by God. Lord and Messiah. And as he preaches Jesus to them, this group of people are cut to the heart. There's a sense of sin. There's a sense that they've done something wrong. And they turn to Jesus, enabled by the Spirit, to trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And then Acts 2 verse 42 describes the impact that the Holy Spirit had on that group of people who had come to trust Jesus. These words are describing a church. And everything that a church should be. They're describing, if I could put it like this, and this is nicking a title from an old book actually, but they're describing authentic Christianity. You know, here it is, the Holy Spirit comes, the church is birthed, although I think it was probably birthed long before this, but the church is birthed into being, the Holy Spirit comes, and what you see as you read Acts chapter 2 is authentic Christianity. In Christianity that is Holy Spirit shaped and driven and filled. That's what's being described in these words. And at the start of a new year, we're going to spend 4 weeks going very slowly through this one verse of the Bible, Acts 2, verse 42. There it is. And our prayer as a leadership, Patrick, Gareth and I, we prayed about, you know, what will we pick as our verse for the year? And our prayer as a leadership is that actually this verse would become in increasing measure a description of Silver Street Community Church. That as people walk in and they see what we do and they see who we are, that this is how they would describe us. Just as it described that first Holy Spirit impacted group of believers on that day of Pentecost. And using these 4 weeks, you know, and I want you to join me in praying for this, that the Holy Spirit would take this verse and he would use it to have this kind of impact on us. That as we read this verse together, we are nudged closer to being those who are devoted to these particular things. And as we move towards membership, that's what we talked about earlier, as we seek to form a membership, our prayer is that actually this just whets our appetite for what it means and looks like to belong to a local church. And so that's our prayer. And what I want to do simply this morning is just to look at the first half of that phrase, that first part. If I can get Heath, could you move it on a bit? It seems to not work today. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's what we're going to look at together this morning. And if I can put it like this, here's what it means, if we can put it in real speak. Those saved by Jesus are those who become devoted to learning from Jesus. That's what we're observing in this little phrase. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. See, that is the impact that the Holy Spirit had on those first believers. That is authentic Holy Spirit Christianity, that those he brings to trust in the Lord Jesus are those that he then changes to want to be hungry to learn from Jesus. And I want you to notice that it's not just individually. It's not that the Holy Spirit just created people who wanted to go off and get their Bible in private and read. Notice the language of together. They, this first group of believers, as they joined together, as they gathered together, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It's something they did as a group. They're saved by Jesus and now they are hungry to learn from Jesus. And in a nutshell, that is what the apostles' teaching is. The apostles' teaching is Jesus' teaching. These are men who had learned from Jesus. They'd been taught by Jesus. And now they were men who were passing on that teaching of Jesus to others. I could put it like this. Maybe you won't understand these words, but a gospel believer becomes a gospel guzzler. Do you know that word? Yeah, guzzler. It's someone who just kind of guzzles something, can't get enough of it. And it's a bit like our house when you put like a plate of cake out. It's guzzled. It just goes. And here's what the Holy Spirit does to people who believe the gospel. They hear about Jesus. They're saved as they hear the gospel. But then they become people who can't get enough of it. They just guzzle the gospel. They just keep wanting to hear about Jesus, to hear what it means to live with Jesus as Lord and Messiah, as the one who's in charge and the one who saves. And as we this morning take a leap, as it were, from Acts 2, the description of that church, and we say, well, okay, here they are, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, but we haven't got the apostles around. They could go and listen to them, but what about us? Well, I want to say this morning that it means that an authentic, Holy Spirit-filled church will be a church that is devoted to the New Testament. A church that is devoted because in the goodness of Jesus, the apostles' teaching has been handed down to us in the form of the New Testament, in the form of the Scriptures. And authentic churches, wherever you go in the world, wherever the Holy Spirit has moved, an authentic church will be a church that is a New Testament church. By that I mean sitting at the feet of the apostles to learn from Jesus. Maybe I could put it like this more simply this morning. Jesus' people now are Bible people. That's authentic Christianity. Jesus' people are Bible people. Wherever they're found in the world, whatever country they reside in, whatever language they speak, if they're privileged enough to have the scriptures in their own language, Jesus's people will always be Bible people, because that's the impact of the Holy Spirit. He makes people, transforms people to be devoted to learning from Jesus. Now we get that, right? Most of us understand that. But what I want to do for the remainder of our time is to kind of parachute into this church in Acts 2. And I want us to spend a few moments kind of just, well, what would we see? What does it actually look like, feel like, taste like to enter into a church, a gathering of people who are devoted to the Bible? And I want to suggest that it would probably look like a number of things as we look at Acts 2 together. First thing is this: people who want to learn from the Bible. People who desire to learn from the Bible. I made a fatal mistake one day over Christmas, which is that I tried to persuade my children to go out for a walk. And it is fair to say that there was no desire in my children to get out of the house. But being the upstart that I am, I said, no, we're going to go for a walk. This is what we're going to do. So I rallied these kids. I played the dad card. No, Dad, we don't want to go for a walk. We just want to be in. And eventually I managed to get the whole family out of the house. And this was not a joyful walk, I have to say. And anyone who'd look on would see that there was absolutely no desire for anyone, apart from me, to be out on that walk. They were dragging their feet. There was wet eyes, tears coming down. Sorry to embarrass my kids. But this is what was happening. There was no desire. Now, Christian, isn't there a danger that we can be a little bit like that when it comes to reading the Bible? Not again. Do I have to? You know, do I have to go to church again to listen to the Bible? There's that often that danger, isn't there, that we do it because we have to, not because we want to. Just the Holy Spirit is the one, isn't it, who changes desires. And I wonder this morning, has that little desire in us to learn from Jesus, the desire just grown a little bit dim? As we read Acts 2:42, and this is why I'm picking on it, there's no sense of drudgery or duty in it for these believers, is there? You know, it's little Frank being dragged along to the temple again. Oh, I'm not going to the temple again. We went yesterday. I don't want to listen to the apostles again. Oh, come on, Frank. It'll be good for us. Now, there's no sense in Acts 2, is there, of this kind of dragging along, duty. I've got to go and listen to the apostles again because we've become Christians. There's no sense of that. There's joy and gladness and deliberateness. There's desire oozes out of Acts chapter 2. And maybe for you this morning, you're missing that desire. You know, is that desire in you? Is it in us as a church? You know, has the flame grown dim? You know, what kind of attitude do you come to church with? Love the singing? Love seeing the people? Endure the sermon? is that the attitude? You know, actually, we need to pray, don't we? Pray for the Spirit to move us. It's the Spirit who moved that group of people to want to listen to the apostles' teaching. And it's the same Holy Spirit who will grow in us that desire. Pray for the Holy Spirit to transform you. Very often as I sit with people who've lost their desire, sometimes it's that our love for Jesus has grown a bit cold, which means we've lost our desire to learn from Jesus. And so maybe we pray, Holy Spirit, please, this year, just ignite in us that desire, that love for Jesus that means we want to sit and listen to him. I want to be really practical this morning as well. And if you feel like someone this morning who's stuck in a rut and has just lost your desire to read the Bible, can I say that it's a circular thing? Sometimes we can get very easily stuck in a rut. You can call it the gospel go round. And the gospel round goes like this. You know, as we sit and we listen to the gospel, as we find it in the Bible, Christ crucified, risen, ascended, returning as judge, as we listen to that gospel, what does it do? What's the impact? It creates in you a desire for Jesus. And as you listen to that, what it does then is it creates a desire to get reading the Bible, because that's where you hear the gospel, and it goes round and round. Some of you will remember an old Pringles advert. Once you pop, you can't stop. Do you remember that? The idea being that you pop the lid off the Pringles and then you've just got to eat the whole packet. Well, the Bible's like that. But you have to pop it. You have to get going with it. You have to open it. And it's circularly, there's this idea that as you get the gospel open, as you read about Jesus, it will make you want to guzzle the whole lot because it's so good. And so be practical. Pop the Bible this week if you're struggling. And pray for the Spirit to ignite that desire. Jesus' people are Bible people. And if we'd walked into Acts 2 church, you would have seen people who wanted to be there, who desired to hear. But we also would have seen people who had a very high view of the apostles' teaching, or in our case, a high view of the Bible. They would have had a very high view, first of all, of its authority. The apostles' authority. The apostles, we're told in the Bible, were just ordinary men. You know, they weren't schooled men. They weren't from big, great institutions of learning. They were fishermen and tax collectors. They were ordinary men, but they were men who'd spent time with Jesus. And they were eyewitnesses. Acts tells us that they had been with the Lord Jesus from the whole time that he was with them, from John's baptism to the very time he was taken up to heaven. That was the apostles' qualification, as it were. They'd seen everything, they'd heard everything. And these were men who'd been given special authority by Jesus. They'd been trained by Jesus. They'd been taught by Jesus. Even in that time period between when Jesus was raised from the dead and returned to heaven, he spent 40 days with them, kind of on this intensive training course, giving them evidences and proofs of his being alive and the gospel. He opens their minds, we're told at the end of Luke, to understand the scriptures so that in every page and in every story, their minds just saw Jesus and the glory of Jesus. These are the men that Jesus left us with to pass on that gospel. And you see, they're authenticated by God as well. Look at verse 43 if you've got a Bible in front of you. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Now, we could have a big chat about signs and wonders. But can I tell you something that's really plain in Scripture? Just even in chapter 2, we read, Jesus was a man accredited to us by signs and wonders. He did signs and wonders to back up what he said. And then he sends the apostles into the show. And he says, right, these are the guys you need to listen to. And I'm going to show you need to listen to them because they do signs and wonders. And that authenticates these men as men to be listened to. They have the real teaching. These men speak with authority on all things Jesus. These 12 men. And the New Testament, therefore, comes with an authority, friends, that we must listen to. The voice of the New Testament, the apostles' voice, is Jesus' voice, because that's the authority he gave them. And to be devoted to the Bible, to the apostles' teaching, means that we give the Bible that kind of high view of authority in our life. We give it the place where we let it say what goes. We let it shape our teaching and our thinking and our lives, the way we do our relationships. Is that the kind of big view that you have of the Bible? Is that the kind of place it gets in your life? The voice that I'm going to listen to because it has all the authority of Jesus? Bible people have a high view of its authority, but they also have a high view of its content because it's all about Jesus. From start to finish, the scriptures are about him, about his salvation, about his lordship, about his bringing about of eternal life. And therefore, as we read the scriptures, this is the way, this is our access to knowing Jesus. Think with me for a moment. Just come back to Acts chapter 2. Think about those baby Christians. They've just listened to the apostles and heard about Jesus. They've heard from them that he's Lord and Messiah. Now, how are they going to get to know that Lord and Messiah? It's by listening to the same men. It's as they listen to these apostles that they will then grow to know Jesus. In real money for these guys, the apostles were their only access to Jesus. Not in a priest-like way, but they were access to his teaching, to his instructions, to his ways. Because it's through these men that we discover the truth about Jesus and learn what it means to live with Jesus as Lord. And that's why just over the page in Acts 4, we read day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. You see the importance of these men? Their content of their teaching and the authority of teaching means that in that little church, the apostles had a high place. And friends, if we were to walk into our church, you would find people, if it's this Holy Spirit, authentic Christianity, who have a high place for the Bible. It's the voice we listen to. If you spend any time with me, apart from here, you'll hear me bang on quite a lot about the importance of not just knowing the Word of God, but knowing the God of the Word. Because there's a danger that we can know the book, but we don't know who it's pointing us to. There's a danger that we can know lots about Jesus, but we fail to know Jesus. And we have a high view of the Bible because it's how we get to know Jesus. A minister from a very different church, I was having a conversation with him once, and he accused me of being someone who worshipped the Bible. And I said to him, I don't worship the Bible, but I worship Jesus, who's made known to me in the Bible. And I have no way of getting to know Jesus unless I read the Bible. And you see, that's the difference. The Holy Spirit gives people such a high view of the Bible because it's here that we hear the authoritative voice of Jesus. And it's here that we get to know Jesus. And that's why Jesus' people are Bible people. And if you're not a follower of Jesus today, I want to say to you, how will you discover the truth about Jesus? How will you hear about his death and his resurrection that can forgive your sins? How will you hear about the hope of eternal life? It is through the apostles' teaching. How did any of us in this room come to faith? It is through the apostles' teaching, or the fact that someone spoke it to us in some way. You see its place? You see its importance? Jesus' people are Bible people, and Bible people are those who have a high view of the Bible. I'm going to speed up, don't worry. But actually, as you walk into that church, you'd also find that it was a church. To be devoted to the apostles' teaching means that the Bible took center stage. Just have a look at the verse again. As the Holy Spirit impacted this group of people, the apostles' teaching started to take first place, started to take a priority. That's what this word devoted means. It was the first thing in the list. So Acts 2:42, our verse for the year. They could have picked any order, right? They devoted themselves to being together and saying a bit of prayer. But actually, I think the order's on purpose. They devoted themselves first to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to hearing what Jesus had to say. First in place, first in importance. And as someone tries to describe, you know, if you meet anyone and say, well, this is a real Holy Spirit-filled church. If they try and describe a Holy Spirit-filled church to you, and the Bible is not very high on the list, or listening to the Bible is not high on the list, then you want to say, well, there might be a problem. Because the very first impact that the Holy Spirit makes is to create a group of people who are devoted to learning from Jesus. Can Silver Street Community Church be described this way? My prayer is it becomes increasingly so. You see, as we keep the Bible center stage, first place, in effect, what are we doing? We're giving Jesus the microphone. That's what we're saying. Jesus, you can speak to us. It's not the whims of some man. We're saying, Jesus, you take the mic. You tell us what to do. You tell us how to think. You tell us what to believe. That's, in effect, what we're saying by making the Bible center stage. Because this is his voice. It's his authority to us. And what might the church look like? As a church makes the Bible center stage, what might it look like as you walk into a gathering of people? Well, it would look like people with Bibles open lots. It would look like people, you know, perhaps you're looking around the room afterwards, it's coffee time, and you're seeing a couple of Christians sitting together. What might it look like if they're Bible people? Well, the Bible will be open. Maybe they're praying for one another, but the scriptures are there. Someone says, oh, I'm stuck in this situation. I don't really know what to do. Well, let's go to the Bible together. Let's see what the Bible has to say. You know, perhaps you're watching a Christian explain to someone who doesn't yet believe about Jesus. Well, a Bible will never be far away if they're devoted to the Bible. Because how else is someone going to learn about Jesus? Perhaps you go to the kids' groups. And it's not just, although I know we hear them bouncing off the walls in there, but it's not just bouncing off the walls. You go in And to give the Bible center stage means that when they go to Skids this afternoon, or you go to Refined on a Friday, or you go into Minis out there, what will you find? The Bible gets center stage, first place. Because that's the voice of Jesus for his church, rebuking us, correcting us, training us in righteousness. And it's not just that the Bible gets center stage, but if we were to go into this church in Acts 2, you'd see that the Bible gets a daily place. Just look at verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now my guess is that a church service every day fills most of you with dread. That would create some dragging heels, I guess. But actually the point is this. Part of being devoted to the apostles' teaching means that the Holy Spirit turned this group of people into someone who daily wanted to get their dose of what Jesus had to say. They daily wanted to get to those temple courts to hear Jesus. And so let me ask you this morning, do you get your Bible open every day? Do you get your Bible? I'm not trying to beat you with this, but I'm just asking a question. If these guys back then had this kind of impact, is it what happens to us? You know, if the Holy Spirit, if it's not your desire, then let the Holy Spirit kind of shape you. Pray for him to say, Lord, I want to get my Bible open every day. Give me that desire. Give me that discipline to do it because I want to listen to Jesus. This list is all connected, by the way. So you have to have a desire to want to get it open every day. And there are lots of ways that we can do that. Listen, we're a really diverse group of people. I'm quite dyslexic and I struggle to read. And so I find listening very helpful. So you can get online and you can listen to the Bible. It's free, BibleGateway.com. Just press play and you can listen to passages. Perhaps, you know, Phil was helpful. You know, sometimes we don't want to read big bits. So just read a little bit. Sometimes some of us devour books and we love to do it. There's loads of ways to get reading the Bible. Why not find a friend in the church and say, can you read with me? I long for someone to read the Bible. You know, just as we need daily food, and my tummy tells me we need daily food. Actually, when the Holy Spirit's in us, he's like the tummy for the Bible. He's like the appetite for the Bible. It rumbles away. And he says, you need to get your Bible open. That's what the impact the Holy Spirit has. I need daily food from God's words. And lastly, people, if you walked into a church, you'd see that Jesus people, Bible people, are people who stick with the Bible. It's not a fad. It's not a phase. It's people who long term stick with the Bible as the word of God. And so just very quickly, if you look at that word, they devoted themselves. If you've got another English translation in front of you, you might well find that it's translated continued steadfastly. It's this sense of people just keep going with this. They were going to be unmoved from the Bible. And it captures something that the Holy Spirit does in believers, which is he produces people who plod with the Bible. Phil talked about the tortoise and the hare story earlier. Do people know that story? Where they set out on a race and the hare, he goes really fast, and then he wears himself out and he has a rest, and he goes off again. But the tortoise, he just plods and plods and plods. And eventually the tortoise wins the race because the hare's kind of gone so fast and he's lying on the side of the road somewhere having a sleep and the tortoise wins. But actually, can I say to you that the Holy Spirit produces tortoises and hares in one person? Actually, that the Holy Spirit, the impact that he has on us, is that he turns us into people who want to devour the Bible. So new Christians, if you've ever spent time with a very new Christian, they're often people who devour the Bible. You know, so even some of the guys here, they can't get enough of it. They're reading every book. And, you know, I get text messages saying, oh, I've just read this book and I've read this book and I've read this book. And they're thinking, man, I'd love a bit of that energy back to read all those books in one afternoon. He produces hares, people who want the Bible. But he also produces tortoises at the same time. People who plod and plod and plod with the Bible. The danger is of hearing a sermon like I'm preaching today is that you hear it and you think, oh, I feel really guilty. I don't read my Bible. And you go home and you kind of go for this New Year's resolution thing. And I'm going to read the whole Bible this week. And then by Tuesday, you're like, oh, that's really hard. I can't do that. And you feel depressed again. And actually, I just want to say to you that the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He produces people, not who kind of, oh, I'm going to do it all. And then you fail and then you don't stop. He produces plodders. He produces people who day in, day out, week in, week out, just faithfully keep going with the scriptures because they have a high view, they have a desire, they know it's how we know Jesus, and they just keep plodding. Happy times, sad times, good times, bad times. The Holy Spirit produces tortoises who plod with the Bible. And friends, Acts 2:42 is a description of a Holy Spirit-filled church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Jesus' people are Bible people. Will we be Bible people? Will you be a Bible person? With the help of the Spirit in 2017, we can be. Having a high view of the Bible, having a high view of its content, of its authority, listening to Jesus as we open the scriptures together. Let's bow our heads, shall we? And let's pray for the Holy Spirit's help, and then we'll sing a song as we finish. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for the grace of the Holy Spirit in many of our lives. We thank you that it was the Holy Spirit who enabled us to be cut to the heart as someone preached the Bible to us about the Lord Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit who brought us to trust the Jesus that is proclaimed to us in the Scriptures. And we pray, Father, please, that the Holy Spirit would produce in us that devotion to keep learning from Jesus from the pages of the Scriptures. Father, help us, please, to be a church that want to learn. Help us to be a church that have a high view of the Scriptures. Please help us to be those who give center stage to what Jesus has to say. Please help us to be those who daily get the Bibles open and listen to Jesus. Please help us to be those who stick with the Bible steadfastly, unmoved from it until our Lord Jesus returns. Oh Father, please work in us what only the Holy Spirit can do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good, let's stand, shall we, and sing. It's a song that the band played to us before we started this morning. It's actually an old hymn, but it's got a new chorus in the middle. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent words. Let's stand and let's sing together.